morning, everyone. The scripture reading today is taken from 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 2, verse 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it. We proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in our lives. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of the Lord.
It is so great to see all of you this morning. It is really great. Now, I want you to just think for a second, what is Christmas all about? What is it? How would you explain what Christmas means? I want you to imagine you have a 4 or 5 or maybe 6-year-old child in the house, whether it's your own daughter or son or grandchild, and they come by the tree and they say that they love the tree, the decorations, the lights, they love Frosty, they love Rudolph, they love the elf on the shelf. And you came to church this morning. You came to church on Christmas Day. What's church got to do with Christmas? And this is a real sharp little one that you've got. Armenian little one, probably. And they say, there's got to be more to Christmas than just all the lights and the presents. Tell me the more. Tell me the more about Christmas. That's what they ask you to do. What's the more about Christmas? So you begin to tell the story of the angel and of Mary and of Joseph having the dream, and then the Magi coming and peace on earth, the shepherds, the whole thing, and they interrupt you. They said, stop. We know that. We know that Christmas is about Jesus, but what's the more? There's got to be more than just a baby. What do you say at that point? What do you say when a little one asks you, what's the more about Christmas? Because if all we have is beautiful decorations and the story of a baby, we're missing something. We're missing it. So I imagine taking the child to the biggest chair in the house, even if it's a recliner, and saying, the baby had a throne before he came to a manger. In fact, he became a baby. He's God. And he became a baby, and so he got off his throne. He came down from his throne, which is infinite, and he came, and I would look to see if maybe there's like a bug in the house or something like that, maybe an ant, and say, he became like us. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords became just like us. See, that's the more of Christmas, that God, the living God, the Creator, became like us. Now, if I told you, look at the sun, would you do it? Look at the sun. I mean, wouldn't it be cool to be able to see the solar flares and all the things coming off the sun? But if you did that, that would be the last thing you ever saw. If you looked at the sun, that would be the last thing you'd see. Your retinas would be burned out. Because the only way we get pictures like this is that there are filters. There's something in between that enables the human eye to see a light that is beyond imagination. And in the universe, this is, I guess, I keep reading that this is almost nothing compared to other stars. But see, I want you to imagine the command of God to know him, but you can't. Because if you knew him, the retina of your soul would be burned out. If you actually saw the living God, if I actually saw the living God without a filter, without something in between, we wouldn't survive it. And see, God loves us so much. He wants you and I to know him, so he became like us, so we could have a filter. See, the more of Christmas is that God has become like us. He's become like us. Sometimes when we read the Old Testament, it's intimidating. We read about the commandments. We read about God showing himself in power. And sometimes it seems like God's inapproachable. But when we read about Jesus, I'll never forget my mother, who is here, by the way, which is pretty exciting. I'll never forget when she first read the Bible as an adult. She said, "I always knew about God. I always feared and honored God, but I never knew about Jesus." Do you have any friends like that? They think about God, they honor God, they even fear God, but do they know about Jesus? God in human flesh, I love Hark the Herald Angels Sing because of the line, "Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see." Now, normally, when you veil something, it stops you from seeing. But Wesley got it right. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. We can see who God really is now in a way that we could never do it before. See, God became like us so that we could know him intimately. He wants you and I to know him intimately. A relationship. That's what he's after. I love how Tim Keller says that God is not content with us fearing him, being afraid of him, even trembling before him. God is not content with that. God wants a relationship with us. God wants intimacy with us. He wants us to see his heart. He sees our hearts. And instead of that repulsing him, he reaches out and says, "I want you to know my heart. Here's my son." See, the more of Christmas is that God has become like us because he wants us to know him intimately. And so you need to hear the question, do you know God intimately? Do you have a friendship with him? Do you go to him in times of need? Do you go to him when you want to celebrate? We talked about this several weeks ago. To whom do you go when you want to shout out thank you? To whom do you go to him? Do you have a relationship with him? See, that's the more of Christmas. God wants us to know him. So he leaves the glory of heaven. He leaves his throne so we can know him intimately. Did you notice the words that John used? He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. Heard, saw, looked at, examined. He's using the language. I want you to get this. He's using the language of a first century courtroom. He's swearing a deposition that this isn't just a story. What we have been testifying to you about is the truth, and we are ready to swear. We are ready to swear that this is the truth concerning the word of life. John wants them to know the truth of Christmas, that we can know God personally and intimately because there's Christmas. See, that's the more of Christmas. But there's more. There's more to the more of Christmas. See, God wants to know us so much that not only does he become like us, but he also finds a way. He found a way to forgive us. See, in order for us to know him, he has to forgive us. It's not enough that God would reveal himself as the light, as purity, holiness, perfect love. Even if it's filtered, that's not enough. Because that knowledge would only condemn us. And God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world. See, we're human beings. See, God created us finite and dependent. And I want you to understand something. Sometimes we feel badly because we're human beings. Because we have limitations, we have frailties, we have limits to our understanding, limits to our power. And somehow, even though we want to, we can't be everywhere at once. See, we have desires to be like God, but we aren't. But you know, that's not the problem with God. God does not get upset at you or at me because we're not omniscient and because we're not omnipotent and we can't be everywhere. No problem for him. He totally accepts that. He didn't create us for that reason or to be like that. See, our limitations of being humans do not inhibit us from having a relationship with God. It's our sin. It's my sin. It's your sin. It's me, the way I try to pretend I'm more loving than I really am. It's the way you compare yourself to others and try to make yourself appear better than them. Or maybe it's the way you compare yourself to others so you can condemn yourself and, oh, I'm so much less than I ought to be. Maybe it's the way your husband or wife or family members shade the truth just enough to implicate you or defend themselves in a conflict. See, this is all sin. See, it's the way our children and our neighbors or colleagues always have an excuse for why they didn't do what they promised or why they did what was so damaging and hurtful. See, it's our sin is the way we rewrite and edit God's laws so that we would appear to meet his standards. Or if we can't do that, we recast it somehow so that someone else is at fault or maybe even God's at fault for the reason we can't line up right and we blame him. So either way, he loses and we think we win. But the reality is we're the ones who lose because our sins create what? A separation between us and God. But the more of Christmas is that God has found a way to forgive us fully. The sin that is on your mind right now that you are ashamed of, that you're trying to hide, that you're hoping no one will ever know. God has found a way to forgive that fully. Not just 50%, not just 75%. I read, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. See, we can pretend that sin doesn't matter, that you can have a relationship with God and still embrace sin, but God says that's not the truth, no matter how vehemently we argue. John says we can say we have no sin, but if we do that, we're just lying to ourselves. Or if we say, I've never sinned, we're just calling God a liar at that point. See, the more of Christmas is that God wants us to know him personally so badly. God wants you and I to know him so badly that Jesus Christ not only became like us, but he became the atoning sacrifice that would cover our sins. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but for those of the whole world. See, sin never again has to get in the way of knowing God. Did you hear that? Your sin, my sin, our sin against each other never has to get in the way of knowing God. Someone here needs to hear that. Some of you here today believe there's no possible way that God could accept you. Christmas, forget the lights. The Jesus stuff, that's good for everybody else in this room, but in your mind, you're saying, not for me. You're saying, no, that can't be. But the more of Christmas is that God has done more than we could have ever dreamed to make sure we can know him. And his people will worship him for all eternity as the one who found a way to forgive us fully. And see, he's done it in a way that it's not just private. Did you know that from the very first day Christians gathered together, they gathered together that a relationship with God is not just private. It's us together. It's always been the community. Jesus appeared to a few individuals and then he got them all together and he appeared to them together over and over and over again. The reason I'm so thrilled that you're here today is that you chose God's way. You said, we're going to worship together. You could have just worshiped with your family. You could have just had a quiet time this morning and gone on with things. But you're together because John writes that the reason he said all this is so that their joy would be complete. See, that's the more of Christmas. But there's also the less. There's the less. So even though God has gone to infinite lengths to reach us so that we might know him, so he might forgive us fully, together, some of you know really, just crystal clear, you know you don't have a relationship with God. You know that the things you're doing, your lifestyle, the thoughts that you feed, that you know that that has nothing to do with God. And you don't want to change anything. And up until this moment right now, you are committed to never changing anything. You should have had this idea that maybe God will cut you some slack in the end, or maybe not, and you know, maybe it won't even matter. See, you know that you and God, whatever his desire is, your desire has been never to know him. See, you're choosing the less of Christmas. You're choosing the less. All you get is lights. All you get is gifts. And that's it. You still have your sin. You still have the judgment and condemnation that that sin is going to bring. But I urge you, take a second look at Christmas, please. Look at the more of Christmas. Look how seriously God takes you. Look how seriously God takes your humanity. He has given his only son to leave the glory of heaven to be born in a place you'd never want your own child born, to die on a cross so that you could have more, so that you could know him, so you could be fully forgiven. Turn from the self-denial. Turn from the self-deception. Receive his forgiveness. Don't settle for less. See, others of us, not only do we ignore, we choose less. In that even though we've asked Jesus to forgive our sins, if we're honest, we make no daily effort to know him. We really don't. You're here today, which is fantastic. But the other 364 days, either personally or with others, we're stopping short. We're opting for less. Even though, again, God has gone to infinite lengths to reach us, we make zero effort from our end to know him. We'll ask him for forgiveness, sometimes on the fly, sometimes really seriously, but that's it. Again, I want to urge you that there's got to be something different. As you go into this next year, will you actually take the written word of God and read it? Last week, I was just overwhelmed. A man came up and said, Greg, would you, is there a way you could help me read the Bible? You talk all about reading the Bible, reading the Bible, reading the Bible. Is there a way you could help me read the Bible? Because I think this year, I think I can plan time where I'm going to try to read my Bible, and I'll try to do it every day. And I said, so do you have a plan? And he said, no. So I made him come back to my office. I gave him a plan to read the Bible, and I'm betting that he's actually going to do it. Have you thought about taking God's word and reading it? Reading it. Listening to him say, Lord, speak to me. He will do it. Have you thought about this coming year being a year where you would put a little bit more effort in your prayer life beyond saying the Heil Meir, beyond offering thanks or grace before a meal, but actually giving some time to learn to pray? Maybe even ask someone to pray with you. If you're married, your husband or wife, would you be willing to put a little effort? Have you thought about fasting? I know you're getting hungry. Have you thought about fasting? This, starting January 8th, we have some flyers in the narthex. Our community, Fresno, is going to be embarking in 21 days of fasting from January 8th to the 29th. And it's not going to be three meals a day. And there's going to be ways that we can do this to break us into the habit of fasting. But have you ever thought of denying yourself? Have you ever thought of denying yourself so you could know more of God? Have you thought about being involved in a Bible study? We have men's Bible studies Friday at noon. The women meet on Tuesday evenings or Thursday mornings. You have a young family's Bible study every other Thursday. We have Sunday school. You have a college youth group. We have junior high school. Sunday. All of this can be done together. Are you willing to do something like that? God has done everything so that we can make some effort so we don't have to settle for less. Don't settle for less. There's so much more to Christmas. Christ left the glories of heaven to become like us, to reveal himself to us so we can know him. Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty our sins deserve so he could redeem us, so we could know him. There is nothing more he can do. Gave it all. He has given it all. What more would you want? Don't settle for anything less. Merry Christmas. Please stand to receive the benediction.